Support for this podcast comes from CDTA, The Eagle, a Times Union podcast driven by CDTA. Hey, it's Jessica Marshall here with a special bonus episode of The Eagle this week. After two postponements and more than a year of delay, The Boss is finally coming to the MVP Center in Albany next week. There are a remarkable number of Bruce Springsteen super fans in the Times Union newsroom, out of their minds with excitement over this. That includes our editor-in-chief, Casey Seiler. He and city editor Mike Goodwin sat down for a little pregame here on The Eagle. Here is their conversation.
Hi, I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union, and with Bruce Springsteen headed to MVP Arena on Monday, it is a wonderful time to have a brief discussion of what this period in Springsteen fandom has been like, and who better to talk about it than one of the newsroom's other dedicated Springsteenologists, and that's our city editor, Mike Goodwin. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, good to be here. This Bruce Springsteen is probably front of mind for many current and former Times Union employees, for sure. He's the GOAT for middle-aged Times Union music fans, for sure.
Yes, and we all live as in-house Springsteenologists. We are in the shadow, we should acknowledge, of Joyce Bassett, now retired from the Times Union, but is definitely the keeper of the Capital Region Boss archives. And we have just reposted her really definitive guide to every show Springsteen has played in the Capital Region, one of which was Joyce's first date with the guy who would eventually become her husband of lo these many decades. So that's a really good piece. I would suggest that people check it out on timesunion.com. So, Mike, let us discuss the very turbulent road to get to this point. And the story really goes back almost 2 years when, of course, this global tour was announced. It was mired in controversy from the outset, from basically the on sale, and that's because of something that was called dynamic pricing. Can you sort of describe for our listeners kind of what that was about and why it was such a polarizing thing?
A couple of artists, I think, had previously used dynamic pricing through Ticketmaster's site, but boy, it was an eye-opener when Springsteen finally went on tour after all these years with COVID. And basically, you would click on you would look at a ticket, and there was so much demand on an individual ticket, it might be over $1,000 based on just how many people looking at, not even people buying. And, you know, I mean, Springsteen has kind of tried to cultivate, or maybe his fans believe he's an everyday man, a working man who has always had kind of decent ticket prices. And boy, the sticker shock and just the difficulty of using Ticketmaster's always unfriendly, impenetrable system really inflamed people, not just here, but everywhere when those tickets went on sale.
Yeah, I was caught in the tumble cycle of dynamic pricing when I initially got on the first day of the on sale for Albany, lo these many moons ago. You got on and you were able to get tickets to this show fairly quickly, if I remember, okay. Right?
Yes, exactly. Their upper deck seats are not great, and they're still $250 a piece, but they were pretty much face value plus the gazillion fees they tack on. But yeah, and that was just pure luck.
You know, Springsteen's camp did some damage control. Springsteen himself remained silent for a very long time, which honked off a lot of fans, including me. I wrote a column about it. Their defense was, hey, look, only a certain subset of tickets within the arena or any other property were set aside for dynamic pricing, and that the average price was that was paid by fans was not too insane when you compare it to other premium acts. Now, this was still something that led to months of ire from Springsteen fans. And famously, Backstreets, which I think we would acknowledge is kind of the GOAT Springsteen fan site, and you know, before that, a magazine, shut down the following winter, in large part, partly because you know its organizers had been doing it for a long time and they were probably ready to do something else or retire. But also, they said very frankly, we feel kind of disillusioned by this, that the kind of money madness that seems to have infected the ticket sales question really kind of spoiled them a little bit on Springsteen.
Yeah, I mean, it was always a pretty cheap ticket for 3+ hours of just exhilarating entertainment. He's widely acknowledged as one of the greatest American entertainers ever. And lots of people go for the first time are like religious experience, blown away by it. It's a hard thing to describe. I encourage people to see him if they can afford it. But it is, yeah, it's unlike any other performer. I mean, I've seen Beyonce, I've seen the Stones, I've seen former Beatles, and yeah, nothing really is quite like it. He's as excited to see you as you are to see him, and he manages to carry that off in an authentic way. Though at these prices, maybe I'll be a little more dubious.
How many shows have you seen, Mike?
This will be the 15th show I've seen, and wow. all since 99. I never saw him before. I know you'd seen him back in the explosive 80s days.
Yes, my first show was Born in the USA tour. I think it was July, early August after Born in the USA came out in the summer of 1984. I paid, I think it was $20 Canadian, which was, I think, about $15 US from a desperate scalper at a show in Toronto that was like 4 hours long. And I think I was like 12th row dead center. So that is very, very hard to top. And I think I've seen probably 7 or 8 shows since then. But boy, you've got me beat without a doubt. And of course, the other impediment, as it were, to Springsteen getting here has been health problems. And I think you've been the guy, whether it happens at morning, at night, who ended up doing the breaking news stories on both cancellations. This is a show that should have happened more than a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. March of last year, right? Yeah, I mean, the first show was canceled because somebody in the band had COVID. I think a lot of people speculated it was Bruce himself. And they had announced other band members by name who had COVID during the tour last winter when a lot of people were getting sick. And it was they were silent on who got sick. And the show got canceled. So several others did, too, got moved to September. And then Bruce got COVID, like, after that. He and his wife both got it a couple of weeks later. And then in September, they were supposed to play here, Syracuse, and other shows, and the other two made up. That shows had to be made up. And he had bleeding ulcers. And it sounds like he had had that for a while and was trying to manage it. I listened to an August show on the radio not too long ago, and he sounded old. And I wondered if he was feeling the pain then. But, yeah, he took the rest of last year off, and he's finally coming back. I think he was 72. When we bought the tickets, and it'll be 74 when he steps on stage Monday night, barring illness.
The man's in his mid-70s, and that's kind of the elephant in the room, that if this is not his last, he's going to continue to perform probably until he's really, until age finally catches up to him as it does to everyone. But a lot of fans are saying that this is the last time you're going to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band out on the road doing this scale of show, which is, of course, something they've been doing for 50 years.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, he's lost some members. Danny Federici and Clarence Clemons have both died. There's younger members of his band now. But yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, it's got to be hard on Max Weinberg's body to play 3+ hours of drums, and you do kind of wonder how long that can keep on. But boy, Charlie Watts with the Stones was going to go out on tour if cancer hadn't gotten him a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I guess what you'll see is just more scaled back stuff. And I think that's what's happening now. It seems like there's 3 or 4 nights between each show, so there's plenty of time to recuperate. But I mean, they're all in their 70s and they'll all be in their 80s soon enough.
I wanted to touch on one thing that I'm very excited about, and I think you've been following as well, which is a movie that is going to be made from a book called Deliver Me From Nowhere that came out just about a year ago from Warren Zanes. That's a deep look at the recording of Nebraska. You know, the very spare album that Springsteen recorded really at a rental house in New Jersey on like a 4-track cassette. And that was, I feel very close to it because the review I wrote of Nebraska for my high school newspaper was the first piece of journalism I ever produced. I think I managed to say it was like a critique of Reagan's America or something like that. You know? Hey,
did you pan it?
No, I loved
the band.
No way. No, absolutely loved it. It's a really great book. I recommend. Did I loan it to you?
Yeah, I read it and I agree, man. I kind of like this autobiography. That book is a terrific book about the creative somebody's creative process.
It's a good book. It's primarily about Nebraska, but it's also about Born in the USA, which of course was this explosion, you know, where he entered the mainstream. And not to give away kind of the thesis of the book, but it's like there is no way Springsteen could have gone as big as he did with Born in the USA and stayed sane unless he had gone through the process of recording Nebraska, convincing his record label to put it out, knowing that everybody around him was with him as he made this kind of, you know, gambling, you know, risky artistic choice. It's a very, very good book. And now here is going to be turned into a movie, I believe directed by Scott Cooper, who's the guy who did Crazy Heart, the Jeff Bridges movie about a difficult Texas singer-songwriter, and starring Jeremy Allen White, who is the lead player in the FX series, The Bear. I am super excited for this movie. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I it's like they made a Johnny Cash movie. I was like, they made a Ray Charles movie. I was like, you know, I kind of feel like there's always the potential you'd be super disappointed that no matter who plays these characters, that they never sort of live up to the larger than life stature of massive stars like that. You know,
have you seen The Bear though?
I've never seen The Bear. No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I will say this. If you see The Bear, you will be very excited to see this very good young actor playing another completely ate up artist with a lot of darkness in his life, because that's essentially the same character that he's playing in The Bear as like a chef and a restaurant owner in Chicago. So I'm very excited for this. All right, so what are you, Mike Goodwin, excited at the prospect of hearing at the show on Monday night?
I want to hear about 3.5 hours of music. He just did that in L.A. At Rare Cuts, you know, I saw he played Roll of the Dice the other night. I want to hear Ghosts, which is a new song from him that's one of the best songs he's written in the last 10 or 15 years. Yeah, just stuff I hadn't heard before. I would like to see them swap out maybe Wrecking Ball with Jungle Land. I do love that song. I hope they play Rosalita. That the end, the partying encore is so much fun. What are you looking forward to?
You know, Springsteen has talked about, and he talks about it in his autobiography, the kind of schism between sort of the, you know, his parents of one sort of Irish ancestry, one of Italian ancestry. The Italian side, his mother's side, is kind of the more party, community, upbeat spirit. And the Irish side, his father's side, the darker stuff, the more kind of existential, the Nebraska side of his work. I'm a big fan of that stuff, the kind of more film noir. I hope we do hear something from Nebraska. You know, the deep tracks that I love are, you know, Shut Out the Lights, which was the flip side of Born in the USA, this great song about a Vietnam veteran coming home. I love it when he will he'll be doing an E Street Band show and he'll do something like Point Blank, you know, from the river, that is a really grim song. And he's just like, guys, this is you bought your tickets. You know what you're getting when you come see The Boss. There's going to be a little bit of darkness and then I will bring you up out of it, you know. So, yeah, I know you're anti Wrecking Ball. We've discussed this before.
I can't. Not a fan.
All right. Well, Mike Goodwin, thanks very much for taking the time. Please, God, we're talking Friday. Do not let anything wrap up Mr. Springsteen in bubble wrap for the next 3 days until he gets to the MVP arena. We will see you there, fellow Springsteen fans. Thanks a lot.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are coming to the MVP Arena Monday night. If you're going, have fun and be safe. While you're waiting, check out timesunion.com or any of our social channels. We've got photos and details of the boss's appearances in the Capital Region since 1974. Also, check out the latest news and features. We will see you next week with more from Inside the Newsroom. The Eagle is a production of the Times Union. It's produced and edited by myself, Jessica Marshall, with help from the Times Union digital team and the newsroom. Support for this podcast comes from CDTA. The Eagle, a Times Union podcast driven by CDTA.
If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the Times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union subscriber today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.